Hi, my name is Sam Williams, and welcome to part one of episode number 149 of my 60 music podcast, Millennial Throwback Machine. So first of all, I'd like to welcome all of you to part one of episode number 149 of my 60 music podcast, The Millennial Throwback Machine. I'm Sam Looms, and for those of you who are just now discovering this podcast, either on the Apple Podcast app, or in Stitcher, or in iHeartRadio, on Google Play Music, or on Spotify, and you're wondering, so what the heck is, I'm going to give you a brief description of what the show is all about. Okay, so I'm Sam Limbs, and I'm a 25-year-old songwriter slash producer, but I'm also a huge 60 music fan slash expert slash nerd. And each week with this podcast, I take one song by one artist in the 60s and put the show in two parts. First part, so I talk about my opinion of the song and why I think it's so good or why I think it sucks, and do my own personal analysis on the arrangement of the song, which will include the chords, main lyrics. And second part, so I dig deep into the history behind that track. In that part, we show talk about who wrote the song, who produced it, what studio the song was recorded at, whether it be the session musicians, and talk about the studio musicians who play on the song, and whether it be the session musicians or the band members themselves, talk about the history behind the studio the song was recorded at, and the history behind the songwriters who wrote the song and producer that produced it, and the artists that recorded it originally, and the record label song was released on, or that label was located, the history behind the record label song was released on. And the peak position song made up originally built by Hot 100 charts when it first came out, and the year in which the song was released. All that is in the second part of the show. Now, before we move on to this week's episode of the podcast, I just wanted to say that my show was absolutely fantastic. Yes, the one that I had last Tuesday at Bar Lubitsch, that was a really, really cool show. And it was great. I mean, it was way better than what I expected it to be initially. I had a really good turnout, and, you know, my sister saved my ass and brought in a lot of her friends to the show, and they were the best audience on the planet. They were singing along to all my songs, and they were super supportive and super fun, and I just, the show was great. And, you know, I'm not sure if I met any of you at the show, because, I mean, I did meet some random people there, but they didn't say, oh, hey, Sam, how's it going? We love your show, The Millennial Throwback Machine. So, I don't know if you were there at the gig, but, hopefully we'll be at the next one. Now, I don't know when and where the next one is, to be honest with you. And I also have a feeling that this is just my gut instinct, and this is just what my gut is telling me about my next gig, the way things are going these days. I have a feeling that the next gig that I'm going to perform at, you're not going to be able to come unless you're fully vaccinated. So, if you are fully vaccinated, and you'll probably be able to show up to my next show, but if you're not, you just won't be able to come. So if you want to come to my next show, what I would do first is get your two shots of the vaccine, and then you should be good to go, and then you'll be ready to, you know, come see me play. And of course, it's 2 weeks after you get your second shot in order for it to be, like, legit, but I mean, you guys know the drill by now. We've had these vaccines out for a long time, so you guys know what that is like. So, but yeah, so that's basically how, you know, the show was fantastic. I mean, there wasn't proof of being fully vaccinated at the door, wasn't anything like that, but I can guarantee you with the way things are going now, that's exactly where a lot of venues are headed, and that's exactly what is going to happen. So if you want to come to my next show, get your shot. And if you want to see a little bit of what the show is like, if you missed it, go to my Instagram, iHeartOldies, and you'll be able to see what the show is like, because I posted two really cool videos of me performing my songs at the show. So if you want to see what those like, just go on my Instagram and watch those videos, and let's move on to this week's show. Moving on, let's get started this week's song, shall we? Okay, so I've been holding off on doing this particular artist for a very long time. And I just, again, it's like one of those 60s groups or artists, per se, that I've been wanting to do for a very long time. He's been up on my list for a while, but I just haven't really gotten to it yet. And this week I'm finally going to do him. And he's one of those artists that very much bridges the gap between the 50s and the 60s. Because he was around in the 50s. He was in a very, very big group in the 50s that had quite a few hits. But then once the 60s kind of came about, he decided to go solo. And he had enormous success as a solo artist. But then once the British invasion happened, his career is basically over. And we'll talk more about that next week on the podcast. But for the beginning of the 60s, his music was so cool and just so... There was so much of a swagger and so much of a sort of, you know, I don't give a fuck attitude that he had with his music. And he just had this whole sort of this charismatic demeanor that was just so unbelievably awesome. And his vocal performing was so, he had this sort of, again, it's, he had this sort of charisma about him that was just so unbelievably great. And his way he sung his songs, it was so, he did it in such a cool way. Like, you know, he would just sort of hop on these notes and sort of just sing them kind of, you know, in such a, you know how a singer sometimes they carry the charisma with the notes that they sing, and they just sound so, you know, just so cool. And they just sort of, you know, they use these sort of vocal techniques to create this whole kind of just really, really interesting, just totally out of the park, just great, great vocal performances. And it just blows my mind whenever I hear him sing, because he's just so great as a singer. And I can't wait to do one of his songs this week. And it might, and look, this was a tough one for me, because there was two really, really great songs that I was trying to pick between the two. And this one, I feel like this one might be just a little bit better than the other one that I was trying to pick from. But I think I might regret the fact that I'm doing the song except for the other one that I was, because literally it was this whole past week I was debating, should I do this song or this song? And it's just like, ugh. Trying to pick which song by this artist to do was really, really difficult, but I think I nailed it, because I think just the story of the song plus sort of the energy of this performance, I think it's worthy of me doing this one. Okay, so the song came out in September of 1961. It's by an artist named Dion. The name of the song is called Runaround Sue.
Here's my story, it's sad but true. It's about a girl that I once knew. She took my love, then ran around with every single guy in town.
Hey, hey,
whoa.
God, this song kicks ass! Seriously, holy shit, man. This song is un-fucking believable. It's off the freaking chain. Seriously, whew. God, I love this song so much. It's got such great energy, and it's got just the coolest fucking performance on the planet. And today I'm going to talk about what makes the song so good, both musically and lyrically. But first, let's get into the song's music. Okay, so here's the thing. Some songs are really, really amazing because they have one of the coolest chord progressions on the planet. Some of them are so interesting because the changes are so unique and so different, and they're so intriguing, and you're like, wow, this is really, really cool. But this song isn't about that. In fact, this song probably has some of the most bland, you know, the most uninteresting chord changes you could get from a pop song from this time. And it's basic 1-6-4-5, essentially. You know, it's like that throughout the whole song. That's all it is 1-6-4-5. And then once it gets to the bridge, it does a 4-1, then a 4-5, and then you're back to the 1-6-4-5. So, I mean, it just doesn't really go outside of that. But I think this song it's not really about the chord progression, because not every song is like that. Some songs will have a cliche chord progression, but then there'll be other things in there that will make up for the cliche chord progression that will make it sound really, really good. And this is one of the songs that is like that. Because it may not be about the chord progression, but holy shit, the performance on this song is un-fucking believable. It's so good. I mean, the charisma in the song, it's just oozing with just sexy, just manliness. And it's just the masculinity in this performance is so just there. And it just sounds so great because, you know, especially the vocals on the song. The vocals on this song is all about the vocals, really. I mean, you know, the background singers doing this whole I mean, that is just so cool. I mean, they're not even really singing words. They're just uttering just. It's almost like the song that was one of the original gang vocal songs, because these gang vocals are just so, just unbelievably cool. I mean, they just sound so great, and just the way, you know, and even like in Dion, his vocals are so good that, you know, a lot of times you don't even really need to understand what he's saying to really get what, like, to understand how cool he is. Because all you have to do is just sing one vowel, one syllable, and just, you know, just, I mean, that's how much charisma and how just tripping with badassness that this guy has when he sings his songs. I mean, the vocals are just so there, and they sound so great. And on top of that, another cool thing about the song is just the groove, because the groove is just so infectious. I mean, you just, not only with the vocals, but just that backbeat on the claps on 2 and 4, and then the drum fills once those vocalists do that part, which is so cool. I love that. I mean, when they do that, and they just, and then the drummer does those fills, and then just when that happens, and you hear just the band just really getting into the groove. And one of my favorite parts about this song, and again, I've talked about this before on my podcast, a lot of songs had this, but it's, again, it's got that Gershwin sort of opening verse thing going on. And I love that. That is so cool. The opening verse, that when it just kind of just starts out slow, but then once the band kicks in after like that opening verse, and then it just really, really kicks into high gear once those drums fill in, then you hear like the vocals come in. It's just, God, this song's so unbelievably awesome. It's just so good. And just, I mean, just some of the moments of the song are just great. Like, I mean, especially after the bridge, right? When you hear like him doing those long notes, like when he goes sugo, I mean, when he does that part, and then the drums come in, and then he kind of gets back into the verses. And now, granted, Dion kind of slurs the words in the song a little bit. So, I mean, I guarantee you, like, at the time, since, you know, sheet music wasn't as easy to come by back then, there was no internet. A lot of people probably didn't understand a word he was saying other than the chorus. You know, but I mean, it's just, there's a lot of people grew up listening to the song. Probably there was a lot of monogreens happening, and I've explained what a monogreen is before, but just in case you don't know what I'm talking about, monogreen is a misheard lyric. It's when you can't understand what the singer is singing, what the words that he's singing. So a lot of times you'll think one lyric is one thing, but reality it's something else. Well, I'm sure a lot of people that grew up with the song probably couldn't understand a word he was saying, but, you know, sometimes that doesn't matter, because if you can bring so much charisma and so much masculinity and such coolness to your performances, that, you know, sometimes that doesn't always matter. But I mean, most of the time it does. I mean, if you're a good singer, you gotta sing clearly, and people need to understand what you're saying for the most part. But I mean, but God, just those, even especially towards the end, when it breaks into a sax solo at the end, that's just so cool too. But again, that vocal hook is just unbelievable. The hit, I mean, that's just, oh my God, that's just so catchy and so hooky. And then just, you know, again, like, it's a really, really great song, and it's just really, really good, and I'm in love with this song so much. It's just got such a fantastic groove. I mean, the drums are awesome. I mean, and here's the other thing about the song is that notice how the rhythm section doesn't really do much. You don't really hear too much happening as far as a guitar, the bass and the piano. And that's because these, and again, this is a vocal driven song. These guys were smart when they were in the studio. When the guy did the arrangement, he knew that this song was all about the vocals. So he did not want the other instruments to interfere with that. So he just, guys, look at, just play the chords of the song, get into the groove, really swing with everybody else, but don't do anything fancy. Don't do anything that would interfere with the vocals of the song. Just play the chords straight. Just do, you know, just, you know, literally let sit on top of these vocals. Don't try to fight with them. Don't try to compete with them. Just sit on top of them. Just play the chords of the song. And that's exactly what these guys are doing. And they're doing that. And you can just, and but they're grooving with the rest of the band. But they're making sure that they're just playing the chords and just really just relaxed and not trying to fight with the vocals, because the song was all about the vocals, 1,000%. I mean, like, literally, I don't know how the song would even sound if it didn't have the vocals. I mean, it would probably still sound good, but Jesus Christ, these vocals really, really make the song. Okay, let's get into the song's lyrics now. Okay, so here's some interesting things about this song lyrically, because, you know, my personal stance on this is it's interesting, because I'm at a point right now in my life where I'm not really looking for a relationship. I'm actually, you know, looking for someone who isn't going to want to spend the rest of my life with me, and someone I could just, you know, have be casual, you know, have fun with, but someone that isn't going to be like my forever and ever girlfriend, because I'm just not ready for that now. But the thing is about this song is that the singer, you know, is criticizing this girl because the girl wasn't true to him, and she runs around, and literally the song is called Run Around Sue. Well, that's because, you know, he is he's warning guys about this girl who will be, you know, dedicate all your love to you, but then she'll leave you for someone else and leave you high and dry. And it's one of those things where it's like, my stance on this is a little bit different, you know, considering the fact that I'm not really looking for a monogamous relationship right now. So I try not to think about, you know, I don't even want to use the word cheating in my vocabulary, really, because in my mind, I think it's perfectly natural and perfectly okay for women to be sexually and romantically attracted to other guys while still being in a relationship. And there's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, and I don't necessarily want to be with the same person for the rest of my life, especially not right now. And I know everyone's different. A lot of people will be like, well, you know, I'm in the polar opposite position. I want to get married and want to start a family, and that's okay. Just for me, and just to give you an FYI, I wouldn't be the guy in this song. I mean, it's, this song was written in the society at a time when a non-monogamous relationship, a relationship where the couple is, you know, open, they're seeing other people, was considered frowned upon, and that was considered bad. And to this day, a lot of people consider that a bad thing when a guy sleeps with another woman, when he's in a relationship, or a woman sleeps with another guy when she's in a relationship. And a lot of times we're now at a point where we have to understand that it's okay for someone else to, you know, like or be attracted to another person while they're in a relationship. So, and a lot of times, you know, someone might get curious about someone else, and, you know, and look, I mean, it happens. But we can't be at a point where we can't be so judgmental about it anymore. And this song and in that sense of being about it, the song is a little bit dated. You know, but for me, it's like, if I slept with a girl and she wanted to have sex with other guys, I'd be like, okay, that's fine. You know, and I wouldn't necessarily judge her for that. I wouldn't ask her to judge me if I wanted to sleep with other girls too. You know, but again, it's a tough thing to maintain and, you know, keep. And look, I mean, like, the guy in the song, you know, he's basically saying, hey, watch out for this girl because, you know, she won't stay true to you. And in the context of the 60s, you know, obviously this makes sense because no one was really doing non-monogamous relationships. But we live in a world right now where things aren't nearly as black and white as they used to be. I mean, especially right now with, you know, back then it was kind of frowned upon to be, you know, LGBTQIA, but now it's cool. So, I mean, we don't live in a black and white world anymore, and this song was written at a time when things were pretty much black and white. You were either straight or not, or, you know, I mean, you know, but now things are, there's way more gray areas right now than there used to be. So I think now we kind of, we want to embrace more non-monogamous relationships, and this song doesn't really do that, you know. So, I mean, it's still it's a good song, you know, regardless of how dated the lyrics might be, but, you know, it's a really, really killer track. And I like the song a lot because it always gets me going. And whenever I listen to it, it just picks me up and really puts me in a good place. It's just a great killer track to listen to. And, yeah. So that concludes part one of episode number 149 of my 60 Music Podcast, The Millennial Throwback Machine. I'm Sam Williams, and as per always, if you liked my analysis in this week's song and artists, and you've never heard of the song before, and it's brand new to you, and you're a millennial, and you're around my age, and you fell in love with the song so much, and you really want to find out more about this artist, and you don't really know too much about them, you can email me at samltwilliamicloud.com. You can also reach out to me Instagram at iHeartOldies, and check out more of my original music at samwilliamsmusic.net. As per always, the things you can find and linked in the description of this episode of this podcast are as follow. My EP that came out on Memorial Day weekend, my brand new songs. I love you guys can check those out. And definitely let me know what you think of them, because again, like, those are some, I love those songs so much, and they're really, really good, and I really want you guys to hear them because they're amazing, amazing songs. You can definitely let me know what you think of them by emailing me at samltwilliamicloud.com. You can also reach out to me Instagram iHeartOldies, and anything you can check out is the official YouTube, the music video for Keeper in My Back Pocket. Love if you guys can watch that and let me know what you think of that, because that's one of the coolest music videos I've ever done. So good. Love if you guys can watch that. You can email me at samltwilliamicloud.com and let me know what you think of that. And everything you can check out are the two interviews I did recently with Honk Magazine, Shout Out LA. Love if you guys can read those, because I dive into a lot about me in those interviews. I would love it if you guys could definitely check those out. Let me know what you think of them. You can do that by emailing me at samltwilliamicloud.com, or you can also reach out to me Instagram at iHeartOldies and let me know what you think of those two interviews. And yeah. And of course, you can, another thing you can check out is the official Spotify and YouTube playlist for this podcast. There you'll be able to find all the songs I've talked about in my show so far, including some of the ones I mentioned, interview episodes. And if you like those playlists, or if you like the songs in those playlists and have some ideas for some songs I should do next week on my podcast that I haven't yet, please email those ideas to me at samltwilliamicloud.com. You can also reach out to me on Instagram at iHeartOldies. And another thing you can do is that you can also check out the official Red Bull merch store for this podcast. You'll be able to find all these super duper cool merchandise items that are specific to my podcast, or the logo is specific to my podcast. It's a catchphrase at the end of every episode, and keep on chugging Tide Fountain, the podcast on the bottom. And if you like that logo and you want to let me know what you think of it, or if you just want to give me some feedback on the price of each item in the store, you can do that by emailing me at cmltwilliaicloud.com, or you can also reach out to me on Instagram, iHeartOldies. And yeah. So yeah, as far as what's next for me is concerned, you guys are probably wondering when I'm going to put out some more new music, and what's next for this podcast, and what's next for my music and all that. Well, I can tell you right now that I'm currently producing three new songs that I debuted for the very first time last Tuesday. And by the way, that was amazing, because I played the songs the first time, but they were singing along right to them, and they knew them instantly. The crowd was really, really cool. I'm so happy they came out, because they were the best crowd anybody can ask for at a show if you're playing a gig, and you know, just really, really engaged and super good. I'm really, really happy that they did that. But yeah, I'm producing those songs right now. I don't have a clue when I'm going to release them, to be honest with you, because right now they sound okay, but they don't really sound like fully produced, mastered, mixed and mastered songs. They sound more like demos. So I really don't know when I'm going to release those, but also it's only three songs. I mean, EP is at least six or seven songs. So I got three more that I either got to finish, or, you know, three more songs that I got to write next. Because right now I'm not really in a position to write anything. I'm not writing any new songs right now, because I just completed and finished three really great songs I'm very proud of. So I'll keep you guys posted when I write some new songs for the next EP, because I've got three that I'm producing right now, but I gotta write at least three more in order to give it a really good solid release. And for the next music video, I will say that I'm gonna give you guys an in on something, and this might be another way you guys can help me out too, if you listen to this podcast and you really want to support me and my music. So for the next music video, I will need to raise money for it. Yes. So there's going to have to be a budget for this next music video, and there's going to have to be some funds that I'm going to have to raise for it. So I don't know exactly how much I'll need to raise, but I will find that out very, very soon. But more than likely, I may create a GoFundMe. I may do something else. But either way, I will be creating some sort of online fundraising sort of thing, whatever that is. I'm probably going to create something like that very, very soon. And as soon as I do that, I will let you know exactly the timeline for the fundraiser, what you'll get as rewards and all that, you know. So, but I'm still trying to figure this out, but I will have to raise money for the next music video. So that's one way you can help me out as, you know, as a supporter for this podcast. You can donate to that, but I don't know how much I'll need to raise right now. I just found this out today, so I really don't know exactly how much I'll need to raise, but I'll find that out very, very soon. So yeah, so that's what's happening for the next music video. I'm going to have to raise money for it, but it shouldn't be that big of a deal anyways. I don't think I'll have to raise a lot of money, but we'll see. I'm still in the middle of figuring that out right now, so I'll definitely keep you guys posted on that. But yeah, so as far as what's next for this podcast, at the moment, I'm trying to secure my next interview, because it's been a while since I've done an interview on this podcast. I haven't done one since Steve Boone in February, but that was really good, though. You got to admit, that was a great interview. I really enjoyed that one a lot. So, I mean, I've had some really, really good interviews on my podcast. I'm going to try to get another one, but right now I can't, because the people I've reached out to aren't really responding at the moment. So I just don't know who's the next guest going to be. And I mean, I actually did get approached by someone to be a guest on my podcast. I might have her on, I might not. I'm still deciding that. But I mean, I really want the next guest to be really, really special, because next week, it's going to mark at least 150 episodes of this podcast. So I in a perfect world, I would have a guest lined up for next week for episode 150, but I don't, so I'll have to wait. But I definitely want the next guest to be something very, very special. So I'll keep you guys posted if, you know, when the next guest will be at and if I'm able to get one, because right now I'm having a little bit of trouble doing that. But I mean, I think that eventually I'll get to booking the next guest. So, yeah, so that's what's next for this podcast. You know, unfortunately, I won't be joining Pantheon. You know, I know, I think I talked about you guys, talked about that with you guys recently. Yeah, unfortunately, I won't be joining their network. So that's, you know, that's just something that I just want to let you guys know. But that's about it as far as what's happening with me right now. So again, I'm Sam Williams, and thank you for joining me for this week's episode of my podcast, The Millennial Throwback Machine. Until next week, please keep things groovy.